brand new episode of Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuning in. There was a slight delay with the beginning of the broadcast, but I'm here, ready to chop up with everybody. Glad y'all tuning in. What we're going to do, family, we're going to take that quick commercial break. And we will be right back after these messages right here on Tariq Radio.
You still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Are you looking for a 100% natural beard product that cleans the skin under your beard and it stimulates growth? Then check out Beard Tree Oil and Herbs, LLC. They promote healthy beards over everything. They offer a full line of products including beard and face wash, balm oil, mist, and detox. So treat yourself to the Beard Tree 3 package, which includes the wash, balm, oil for just $25. For best results, check out the Beard Tree 5 that includes all 5 products for just $50. So check this out all at BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com. That's BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com, or follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Beard Tree Oils and Herbs. What's up, family? We are finally beginning to get on code for justice and economic empowerment, and now we got to make our empowerment a lifestyle. So I introduce to you On Code Clothing. On Code Clothing is our thing, all black, everything, and fly. But make no mistake, this gear is exclusive and it's not for everyone. You got to be grassroots aligned and in the know to truly appreciate this lifestyle brand. So check us out now at OnCodeClothing.com. Sign up and save 10% and enjoy free shipping on most orders. Again, that's OnCodeClothing.com. Would you like to make 6 figures or more providing court-mandated classes like anger management, DUI, or shoplifting prevention? If so, go to courtmandatedtraining.com and sign up for the free webinar that will help you get started, even if you have no experience. So if you want to get that bag, if you want to get some money and do it the right way, go to courtmandatedtraining.com to learn more. Again, that's courtmandatedtraining.com. Hey, if you have less than perfect credit and you want to get your credit cleaned up so you can ball out, you need to holler at my dude, Paul Levy. He can help you get results by cleaning up your credit within 45 to 90 days. They help out with such items as late payments, bankruptcy, medical bills, student loans, collection, and identity theft. So you need to get in touch with Paul today. Text HELP at 443-764-5798. That's 443-764-5798. Yo, check out a brand new EP album called The Workforce Struggle EP. That's by a producer named Professor Archibald. Now, he does beats for aspiring artists, and you can get beats from him by simply DMing him on Twitter at ArchieProfess, or you can email him. Also, check out his whole album called The Workforce Struggle. You can get it on Apple, you can get it on Tidal, you can get it on Spotify, and you can get it on Amazon. So that is The Workforce Struggle EP. Yo, cupcake season is right around the corner, family, and you need to get your fragrance game all up in order. So you need to check out ashkicking.com. That's a black-owned business that sells all-natural health and beauty products, and it also has fragrance products. You can get beauty products such as body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, unique incense burners, incense sticks, scented candles, and so much more. So again, you need to check out ashkicking, that's K-I-C-K-I-N, .com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail? Or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, The new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines. Now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave a little blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I said, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
Yo, we're back. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Now, if you're watching me live on YouTube, the feed goes in and out on YouTube, but you will be able to hear the whole thing after I broadcast, so don't trip if the feed is going in and out on YouTube. They do stuff like that. They kind of mess with the feed, but don't trip. Everything is going to be A-okay when you listen to the playback of this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. But we're here, ready to chop it up. A lot of good stuff we got to talk about, family. Today we're going to talk about the Truth and Reconciliation scam. We're going to get into that in a minute. Shout out to ADOS, Foundation of Black Americans, Tangible 2020. You know you got to use those hashtags, ladies and gentlemen. Oh man, so much stuff I want to get into. I'm trying to pack it in because I'm going to the movies tonight. I'm going to see that Us movie tonight. I'm going to see an early premiere of it. So I want to pack in a lot of stuff, and I'm going to try to get it in because I got to be out of here by a certain time. One thing I want to talk about, Daniel Caesar, the artist, he's an R&B singer. He's up there in Canada. He's one of these Caribbean brothers. And I'm not beating up on you Caribbeans, but we got a lot of shit coming from your way. When y'all come over here to the U.S. or North America, boy, y'all take the coon boat over. So Daniel Caesar, he made some coonish comments and it went viral. And I want to let y'all hear this. He was taking up for this chick, Yes Jules. It's this white, this quote unquote thick white girl that Negroes be losing their minds for some reason. It is a white woman who has a little semblance of ass. Niggas don't know how to act. So they were defending her. They jumped on the coon train. I mean, y'all Negroes have, y'all will pull out y'all capes for white women. It's so sad. And Daniel Caesar was up here talking about black folks need to stop being so mean to white people. And when he said this, I said, let me look in his background. This sounds like Caribbean coon talking. Sure enough, this dude's family, they're immigrants from the Caribbean. So like I said, man, my theory is that there's already a coon class in some of these African and Caribbean countries. They couldn't cut it there, so they get exiled and bring their cooning over here. And a lot of these Negroes undermine black American progress. We got to watch these cats. And Daniel, you know, I was getting in on him and he hit me up on Twitter. He says he's a fan of my stuff and he likes my work. But Daniel, and I know you're probably listening, Daniel, if you know my work, you should know better than to be talking this Sambo babble like this, Daniel. This is Daniel. He was on his Instagram Live. Listen.
Are there black people in this chat right now? I can't tell. Yo, I'm not.
You gotta make sure there is.
I love you guys. Yo, you guys are listening, and I love you guys so much, but this, we're, like, talking about something serious. So I'm, like, I don't want to talk about shows or, like, being, you know, like, artist stuff. Why, as, I don't know which black people are in here, but I want you guys to talk up right now. Why do we...
Oh, I saw it. I heard something
joking. Why are we being so mean to Jules? Why are we being so mean to white people right now? That's a serious question. Why is it that we're allowed to be disrespectful and rude to everybody else? And when anybody returns any type of energy to us, that's not equality. I don't want to be treated like I can't take a joke. I just went through that the fucking Chappelle shit, and I had to, like, in the moment acknowledge that I was being fucking sensitive. Sometimes, you know what I'm saying? And that I need to be able to take a joke just like everybody.
And by the way, he has blonde hair. Now, he had dreads, but he has blonde hair. He cut his hair short. He has blonde hair. And, you know, his teeth are all in the thing. He has these big gaps in his teeth. I know. Okay.
Anybody else?
No. Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. People are allowed to say what the fuck they want. And it's I'm allowed to feel how I want, but it's like, am I going to fight them or am I going to accept what they have to say and keep it?
Okay, now notice he said black folks are too mean to white people. Y'all too mean. Oh, damn, y'all black folks are too mean. Y'all too mean. All right, but watch what he says when he talks about white people being mean. Let's keep that in mind. This is the, the coonery is just on fleek. Black people are too mean. Y'all too mean to white people. Black, oh, y'all, shame on you for being too mean.
Fucking moving. Why are, like, I only treat people that I don't respect and don't think that they can take a joke. I think that they're less than me. Those are the only people that I don't fucking say my honest opinion around.
Okay, a lot of this is coon babble, by the way. Sambo babble, I don't know what you're talking about.
And that's disrespect. White people have, I see what you're saying. White people have been mean to us in the past. I have a, like, what are you going to do about that? Tell me what you're going to do about that.
You see this Sambo, white people, they've been mean to us in the past. Now you went full Sambo on this one, Daniel. You should know better. Now you went full Sambo. Black folks are mean, but whites were mean in the past. I say this is Caribbean coon talk.
There's no answer other than gaining understanding and keeping it moving. That's some biblical shit.
Yo, bridging the gap.
Oh God. Now it's biblical. Coming together, just all the Negro Sambo cliches.
You have to bridge the gap.
And the first bridge of gaps are the ones in your mouth.
I'm sorry, yo, I'm drunk as fuck right now, okay?
Good soul,
but I don't care. That's not helping. I've seen it. Yo, as we are an independent company, Golden Child.
Okay, that's enough Sambo Bab. Okay, so y'all get the gist. You get the gist. And this type of Sambo babble, black folks, y'all get off that. Especially, again, y'all immigrants, because I really hear a lot of this coming from y'all immigrants. This is why we have to circle our wagons. Now, yes, we got our versions of coons, but at least we've called our coons out. They're so far marginalized from foundational black Americans, we don't mess with them. We've neutralized many of the coons within black society here. We've outed them. So, you know, they have no safe space. So they got to go all the way over there to the right or all the way under the other white supremacists on the left, you know, like the Rowlands and all those folks. We're marginalizing those people now. But a lot of y'all immigrant black folks, this type of stuff ain't gonna fly no more. We got to clean house with this type of filth, with this type of Sambo-ish behavior. We're gonna have to stop with that. Somebody said in the chat room, said there's Clarence Thomas. Black folks, when have black folks ever messed with Clarence Thomas? Clarence Thomas has no stock in black society whatsoever. That's the thing. If you're going to be a Sambo, you're going to have to be a Sambo over there. Clarence Thomas can't go nowhere around black folks. Let's be very clear. See, a lot of, there's like a little Sambo class with all these other groups. They come over here and there's little pockets of Sambos who all work together and they keep quiet. See, we're going to have to start digging them up and rooting them up and letting folks know who they are. We can't have that. We can't have that at all. Somebody said, am I going to speak on Rowley? What did Rowley do? I saw, was Rowley on the Breakfast Club? What did Rowley say in the chat room? Did Rowley say something slick? What did Rowley say? But Daniel, and I like Daniel's music. I like Daniel's music. And there were people, black folks, really defending him not too long ago because folks were calling him ugly and all this old stuff. They were getting in on his looks because he don't, when you hear him sing, he's one of these people who look weird, but they sing real good. You dig? And, you know, that's our brother. You know, his teeth are janky. That's all I got to say about the dude. You know, his teeth look like donkey hooves. But other than that, the brother's a very good singer. But that's what it is. We got to call out these folks. Now somebody's talking about Roland Martin. Now, what, did Roland say anything about me in his interview? I'm asking y'all this. Y'all stop Sambo babbling in the chat room. People are talking about Roland Martin. If he said something about me, let me know. If he didn't, let's keep it pushing. I don't care about him talking slick. And really don't give a shit about Roland, what he has to say. He's insignificant. He's trying to ride our court coattails. You dig? So we got bigger fish to fry. So as a matter of fact, don't even bring him up in the chat room. We don't care. We're talking about bigger and better things. Okay. Another thing, speaking of Democrats and Sambos, they're still trying to push this Cory Booker likes women crap. They are still trying to push this. You know, I talked about it last week, how they were talking about Cory Booker's dating Rosario Dawson. And then this week, Katie Couric was talking about she went on a blind date with Cory Booker. They're going out of their way to try to make this man seem like a heterosexual. It's just blatant at this point. And I like how they said that they had Katie say she went on a blind date so she can keep her white privilege, so she don't lose any stock within white society for going out with a black dude. Yeah, I went out with a black guy. Fake went out. I don't even believe she went out with him, but that's just part of this whole fake story. But yeah, I went out with him, but it was a blind date, so I didn't know he was black, so she can play that role in white society. I didn't know it was a Negro, so they kind of snuck me up on him. But this whole thing, and then I saw another story today where they're talking about, well, Cory Booker is teasing that he might get married at the White House with Rosario. Y'all need to stop playing, okay? Cory Booker's publicist, stop playing. Y'all stop running with this narrative. It's embarrassing at this point. All this stuff, it's embarrassing. Because y'all trying too hard and people can kind of see through it. Y'all trying too hard and people can see through this. And then Corey, he told a story about how he groped a woman. This is a story that he volunteered. He talked about how he was 15 and he was kissing a woman, a girl, when he was 15. And then he touched her breast and how he felt like that's toxic masculinity, some garbage. So that's something, again, to make him seem like he like women. I think that's something that him and his publicist and all these people tried to put together to make it seem like this dude has touched a woman. I like women. I groped one and it was so toxic, I had to stop. I was being toxic by touching her titty, so I had to stop. This is so unbelievable. Give me a break. They really, really trying with this dude. Somebody said his booty hole is whistling. But more power to you, Corey. I don't believe all this bullshit, but more power to you, brother. But anyway, like I said, we're going to talk about today the Truth and Reconciliation scam. When we talk about reparations, a lot of people are trying to use this whole narrative where we shouldn't talk about reparations in the form of money. Well, it shouldn't be about money. It should be about healing. It should be about truth and reconciliation. And family, I just want to give you a heads up. When you start hearing that truth and reconciliation and healing and coming together talk, that's a con. We do not do that. And we're not going to play that game. It's a money game right now. When they start talking about, well, I got something better than money. Every time they come around black folks, all of a sudden they got something better than money. Well, I got something better. Healing is better than money. Education is better than, no, we ain't doing none of that. We are not doing any of that. We need the cash. We need the cash payments. That's what we need. Let's stop being afraid to say it. We need them checks. Everybody else, when they've been wrong, they get checks. We gonna need those checks too. We need money, 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 money. I don't need no goddamn truth or reconciliation, because you know what that means? That means hugs and kisses. Truth and reconciliation means hugs and kisses. Let's get around white people and all these other people and start hugging and kissing and forgiving. That's what they mean when they say that. Don't let them run that game on you. Those Boule Negroes, all of them are going to try to push that truth and reconciliation, and that's reparations. And no, it's not. We ain't playing that hugging and kissing and loving on you game. We ain't doing that. They did that in the 60s. That's why we ended up with nothing. Little boys and little girls get together and hold hands and no, we're not doing that. Look at how truth and reconciliation went down in South Africa. After the legal and open apartheid so-called ended, which it never did. I've been to South Africa. Apartheid is alive and well. They did that whole truth and reconciliation jazz. And basically what that was is everybody get together and talk about what they did wrong. All the white supremacists talked about all the bad things they did. And all the black folks talked about how bad it made them feel. And the white supremacists were told they were not going to be punished. And the black people were not going to be compensated. So everything is bygones as bygones. We're going to start a new day. It's Hakuna Matata. So we're going to start fresh all together loving each other. That was the whole truth and reconciliation. It was no punishment for the white supremacists and no resources for the black folks, and South Africa is back in the toilet for black folks right now. That's why they're in the situation they're in now. 80% of the population are being smacked around by a small minority of white supremacists. That did not work out for them. I went over there and it's a hellhole for the black people there. That's what it is. And they want to try to run that game on us because they know there's so many desperate Negroes who are desperate to be accepted and loved by these white supremacists. And luckily, a lot of black foundational Americans, ADOS, we're not going for that. We're pretty much on code and we're staying the course with this. We're staying the course with this. And we got to keep beating that drum of cash reparation payments. See, we've done something that has not done in a long, hasn't been done in a long time. We've been on code. And notice since we've been on code and we said we're going to circle our wagons, look at how all these other groups are crying foul now. Notice how all these other groups keep attacking black American descendants of slaves. We're being attacked by all these other groups because now we're doing the same thing they've done. They've looked out for their groups and we're looking out for our group. And let me tell black people something. You are not under any obligation to be the walking doormat for all these other groups to keep stepping over you, and you lift them up and you get nothing out of it. And you're supposed to be grateful to be a part of the Kumbaya crowd. We're not doing that game no more. And notice when we say we're going to let all you other groups hold your own nuts, these people are talking about they're being attacked by us. ADOS, y'all attacking African and Caribbean immigrants. You notice y'all keep hearing that dumbass narrative? That's a way for some of these immigrant coons to try to stay attached to us because they are afraid to fight on their own. You can't do it on your own. You've been riding our coattails and really undermining us for so long. The thought of you fighting and holding your own nuts, that's an attack. You look at that as you being attacked by us. That's just your way of trying to latch on to us so we can keep you in the conversation. You notice I don't argue too much with all of these immigrant coons. And I ain't saying all my coon brothers, my immigrant brothers and sisters are coons. I ain't saying that. But now we see who the coons are. The Sambos and the coons are making themselves known because now they got to fight for themselves. They can't hide behind us no more. Now that we ain't caping for immigration, we're caping for ourselves. Now these other groups are going to have to be out here and put in some goddamn work. And now y'all acting scared. It's not our obligation to fight for you and then have you undermine us. Hold your own nuts. I don't give a damn if you get mad and start throwing around these jive-ass terms like xenophobic. We've done enough. Having you hoe your own nuts, that's not an attack. That's letting you do you. Because we're all types of vaccas. We're told, well, you're told not to even associate with us. Y'all tell us we ain't got no culture. Okay, well then we'll do us then. Knock yourself out. Nobody's hating on you. We've done enough to help you. We've done nothing but help you. So you're just going to have to hold those nuts. Hold your own nuts and hold them tight and stop whining to us. I'm tired of all these non-ADOS, non-foundational black Americans whining to us. You just want us to keep focusing on you because you scared to leave the nest. We ain't fighting for you no more. Not right now. We got to get our stuff together. We've exercised all of our energy. We've burned our energy, so we're in survival mode. We have to survive as foundational black Americans, and we have a claim that we have to deal with this government. And we've made more progress in the last few months than a lot of these Negroes running around talking about Pan-Africanism for years. Especially these Boulay dudes. Watch these cats. They'll talk a little black, but they're all Boulayed up. They're in the pockets of these white supremacists. They've been up here talking about Pan-Africanism and rocking their dashikis and getting that little white money to be the buffer class. And they've done nothing as far as any Pan-Africanism or reparations or any type of tangibles for black Americans as a group. We got this thing on the national platform right now. Within months. On a grassroots level. And family, we got to keep that drum beating. Stop being afraid. And look at the talking points some of the people are using and not fall for their tricks. Now the right wingers, they're trying to chime in with their jive-ass talking points. They were on Fox News the other day talking about the Civil War. And that's another thing. I broke that down. Another thing they like talking about is, well, reparations was all those white people fighting in the Civil War, the thousands of white people who fought and died to free black people from slavery. That's reparations. We should be grateful that all the white people fought in the Civil War and died so that we can be free. Now, number one, they know that's a crock of BS. They just hope you don't know that. Family, don't let nobody run that Civil War garbage on you. And I broke this down on Twitter. Understand, the Civil War was not about ending slavery at all. It was never about ending slavery. It wasn't about the North having some kind of moral higher road mentality than the Southerners. Remember, there was slavery in the North. Slavery started in the North. It was a New England thing, as our brother John Henry Clark said. As a matter of fact, during the Civil War, at the beginning of the Civil War, there were slave states in the North. Maryland, Delaware, they were slave states then. Your slave plantation still in operation in New York. Sylvester Manor is one of them up there in Long Island. Also, this whole thing about them taking the moral high road to free the poor and downtrodden enslaved black people. Remember, when the white people in the North found out they had to fight for the Union, remember, they started attacking random black people in New York. They had the draft riots. So they started killing random black people out there in New York because they had to fight in the Civil War. They were mad at the government, and they always take it out on us. So let's stop with that. The North had this whole moral high road mentality. They were just as racist as the white supremacists in the South. Let's be very clear. And also, when the Civil War started, because it was all about the Southern states getting too powerful, they were like, we don't really need the North. We're going to branch out and have our own country. That would have destroyed the Union. That would have destroyed the United States as we knew it. So they wanted to wage war to keep the Union together. That's what it was about. And as a matter of fact, at the beginning of the Civil War, Lincoln's first policy was all the black people who escaped during the Civil War and went up north, the North was going to return them back to the plantations. That was one of the first policies of the Civil War. They were going to return them back to the plantations. Also, remember, during the Civil War, you had all of those military schools in the South, so the Confederacy, they were beating the brakes off the Union. The South was beating the Union during the Civil War at the beginning. Look up some of those early battles around 1861. That's when some of the earliest battles started. Look up the Battle of Fort Sumter. The Confederacy beating the brakes off the Union. The Battle of Big Bethel, beating the brakes off of them. The Battle of Cold Camp. The Battle of Carthage. The Battle of Blackburn's Ford. The Battle of Wilson's Creek. The Battle of Kessler's Cross Lane. The Battle of Wolf Creek. The First Battle of Lexington. The Battle of Liberty. The Battle of Barberville. I mean, just the Union was getting the brakes beat off of them by the Confederacy. And they realized, hey, the North said, we got to regroup here. The North said, you know what? We need to start letting some of these Negroes fight. And that's when they started winning. When they started getting black troops in the Union Army, that's when they started winning, family. And how are you going to get black folks to fight in the Civil War? You got to give them an incentive. What's the incentive? If you want us to fight in this war with you, what you going to give us? Well, they're like, okay, if you fight, we'll give you freedom. They're like, well, you need to write that down on something. Because they said that before. Remember, I think with George Washington, they said if black folks fought on the side of the U.S. against the British, they would give them freedom, and then they reneged on it. So they said, okay, let's get that on paper. We'll get it cracking. So black folks started fighting for the Union and started fighting against the Confederacy, and one of the first battles was the Battle of Island Mound. That was in Bates County, Missouri, I think. And you had some black troops because at that time they allowed militia groups to start forming in order to, you know, fight some of the guerrilla bands of white supremacists who were fighting for the Confederacy. So there was this big battle, the Battle of Island Mound, and brothers beat the shit out of those white supremacist Confederates. Brothers said, okay, we got a gun and we can get it in and we won't be punished if we put the work in on these white supremacists, sign me up. And brothers start beating their asses. Look up the Battle of Island Mounds. It started there. Then they started to put the black troops with the Union, but they were still in segregated units. But that's when they started winning. When those black troops got with the Union, that's when they started winning. So it was black folks who helped keep this country together again by fighting with the Union against those traitors, those white supremacist Confederates, and it was brothers who helped keep this Union together, which is further reason why we need reparations. Which is further reasons why we need reparations. And remember, after the Civil War, for those people who keep trying to prop up them damn Union soldiers, remember, after the Civil War, when black folks were free, quote unquote, places like Natchez, Mississippi, and other places, the Union started forming these concentration camps and killing black people. It was Union soldiers doing that. Look at some of the slave narratives of some of the former slaves who were recorded back in the 1930s. They talked about being in the Union armies and all the atrocities they saw with the Union army. And down there in Mississippi, they had the Devil's Punch Bowl. Look that up, where they put thousands of black people in these concentration camps and killed 20, 30,000 black folks. That's something that they keep secret. That was the Union army doing that. Look that up. Look up Devil's Punch Bowl. That was the Union army doing that. They were killing black folks, man. I want y'all to Google everything I'm saying. Anybody in Mississippi, y'all know what I'm talking about. Not only that, Lincoln, he wasn't no big friend of black folks. He said, look, I can keep the Union together by keeping these niggas enslaved. That's fine. They're inferior anyway. If I free them and that'll keep the Union together, that's what I'll do. So it was either or. Whatever's going to keep the Union together, that's what Lincoln was going to do. And also, when the war is about to end, Lincoln got all the Negro leaders and all the preachers and said, hey, look, why don't y'all, how about y'all just go to Brazil? How about we just ship all of you out of here? Because, you know, the war is going to be over and there's going to be a lot of surplus niggas walking around. So why don't we just ship y'all down to Brazil? There's still slavery there. Lincoln was going to put us back in slavery somewhere else. Then I think Lincoln was going to send black folks to Panama, all these different places. Lincoln wasn't no damn friend of us. And the only reason he didn't go ahead with that plan, somebody shot his ass. You understand? So this is why we have to understand history. Don't let these folks run game on us. And don't let these other immigrant groups try to jump in the conversation. A lot of these East Indian cats, I've been seeing them jump in the conversation. There was one, we got on his ass. I forgot what his name was. He was one of these blue check Twitter dudes talking about, well, reparations is too late. It's too late to give reparations to black folks. I'm like, get your ass out the conversation. You a Johnny come lately. The hell you in our conversation for? You coming here is a come up. We got to watch these people and check them. That's why I was getting on black folks for getting on the sister Jess Hilaria. She made a statement about how she was nervous about some Sikh Indians getting on a plane, and a bunch of Sambos were attacking her trying to defend those dudes. I've never seen East Indians defend people like Dinesh D'Souza. I've never seen people defend folks like Dinesh D'Souza ever. I've never seen that. And he made a tweet the other day talking about reparations, talking about, well, it was the Democrats who had slaves. Don't fall for that who's on first game. The white supremacists love to play that it was the Republicans are the racists. No, it's the Democrats who are the racists. It's the same body with a two-headed snake. Both of them practice white supremacy. It's all about who's giving up the tangibles. Both of you are racist, so just give me some money. Both of y'all, give me a check. Compensate me. I'm not here to try to convince you to not be a racist. I don't care. Give me what's owed to me, which is the wealth generated from the labor of my people. Just give me that, and just you can be racist till you blue in the face. I don't give a damn, because you're going to do it anyway. So just cut the damn check. That's how we got to step to these folks. See, we're going to have to start being proactive about what we need from these folks. And that's why they're so confused right now, because they're not used to us being proactive. They're not used to us asserting an agenda on our own. They're used to us reacting to whatever they do. See, we're asserting an agenda, and the Democrats and everybody's hella confused right now. They don't know what to damn do. They're all over the place, which is good. Which is good, family. And before I get out of here, because I got to get out of here, guys. I told you I can't do the show too long. I got to get out of here. But look, I have an idea. This is something I want to talk to the family about. Listen. I got an idea for my next film. Because I'm almost done with Hidden Colors 5. And what I want to do, I want to have another film in production right after I'm done with Hidden Colors 5, because usually when I'm done with a documentary, I wait a couple of years to do another one. But right now, times are critical. I got to stay on it. I got to have these projects kind of coming back to back, because they're coming at us nonstop. So I want to have stuff ready. I have an idea for the next movie. The next movie that I want to do, and I'm still kind of deciding if I want to do it, but I just want to see how much feedback and support I can get from the family on this. I want to do a movie, a documentary called Buck Breaking, The History of Anti-Black Racism from the LGBT Community. The film that I want to do is called Buck Breaking. So you already know how it's going to go down. See, I like to do stuff that's never been talked about before. And the racism, the anti-black racism from the white LGBT community, that's never been explored. It's just somebody in the chat room said, be careful. And you're right. That's why I'm like, I'm kind of, and you're right. And somebody in the chat room said, you better be careful. You're absolutely right. Because let me tell you something, the white LGBT community, they are vicious, dude. Not only with their racism, they are deadly. If you start speaking out about them, people end up dead, man. They are vicious with what they got going on. You start going in on them, folks start end up missing, man. I'm going to keep it 100. That's why I'm like, if I do something like that, I need y'all to rock with me on this one. I ain't gonna be out here just dangling by myself. I need the family to really, 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 really rock with me on this one. And on this one, man, on this documentary, what I want to do, I want to talk about, I mean, go into the history of it. I want to talk about the buck breaking on plantations. I want to talk about how the white LGBT community is all clicked in with the feminist community and how that has been used against black society. I want to talk about how the white LGBT community, they're the ones responsible for all this anti-black AIDS propaganda to get the heat off themselves. I want to talk about the gay mafia Michael Jackson was talking about. Michael Jackson, remember, some of y'all might not remember, he was talking about how the gay mafia was after him, and then he ended up dead. And that's the thing. That's the thing that I'm kind of like, Because when you start going in on some of them, folks start ending up, they end up missing. I told y'all, somebody wrote a book about David Geffen, who's the most powerful gay man in the country. Somebody wrote an unauthorized biography on him, and the dude ended up dead. There was another brother named Vincent. What was Vincent's name? He wrote the book Delectable Negro, about the history of cannibalism and homoeroticism on slave plantations. So this brother was bringing to light some of the homoeroticism and the rapes and all that stuff that was going on plantations. That brother died. The brother who wrote The Delectable Negro, he died. You understand? When you start exposing them, people start disappearing. And I'm going to talk about Ed Buck. Again, the media, the white media, they've been protecting Ed Buck. And remember, some of the gay dudes who ended up dead around Ed Buck, they were about to expose some of the stuff Ed Buck was doing. Somebody, one of the brothers had a journal documenting all the stuff that Ed Buck was doing, and his brother ended up dead. You dig? And my man Ron Newt was about to expose some stuff about the folks connected with Oprah and that whole Michael Jackson thing, and Ron ended up dead. Ron's been dead for like a week, and right now, nobody knows the cause of death of Ron Newt. Nobody knows the death or the reason why Ron Newt died. Nobody has a cause of death. But again, this is something that will be hella controversial, because I want to talk about Oprah's folks, all those folks connected with Oprah, her paymasters, how, remember, speaking of Oprah, y'all remember Oprah was the one who was really promoting that download thing. Remember that whole download narrative they had about black folks, where they were talking about, well, all the AIDS is happening in the black community because it's down low black men secretly sleeping with men. That was another con game. I've always said black folks get AIDS when they start sleeping with folks in the dominant white society, because they're the ones who have it the most. So they start putting these books out here, and then they start pushing out these narratives, and they go through Oprah. Oprah is supposed to be the reputable black person. But remember, it was whenever they want to push some kind of agenda to black society, they'll go through Oprah. Remember, it was Oprah pushing that. Then Oprah had Terry McMillan and her dude on there, and Oprah was on that. You're on the down low, Jonathan. Aren't you on the down low? Oprah, she was pushing that heavy. I've never heard Oprah call a white person down low. That term down low is something exclusively used for black men. That's a way to blame straight black men. Remember, that's the whole MO of the white LGBT community. Find ways to blame straight black men. That's what that whole down low thing is. Well, it's really straight black men who's doing all of this devilment. We got to expose this stuff, man. Somebody said it sounded like a suicide mission. Hey, I don't want to do that. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to put some information out there. And that's why if I put out information like this, man, you know, if I put out this type of information, y'all got to rock with my ass on this one. Because I want to go all the way there. I want to talk about the adoption industry, how these white lesbians and these white gay dudes get these children and exploit them like those babies, the Hart family, where those white supremacist lesbians were beating those babies and ended up killing them. This is something that's common. And it was so bad in certain parts of Africa where Ethiopia, they stopped foreign adoptions altogether because all of those LGBT groups going in there raping the kids and all, they had to stop it altogether. So I'm like, well, damn, man, something like this has to be exposed. We got to break it all the way down. But I do want to be safe because, again, when we start doing that, we're treading in some serious water. But yeah, the title buck breaking would be perfect. So I'm still thinking about it, man. Y'all let me know. You know, everybody subscribe to this channel, by the way. Y'all subscribe, hit the like button. I'm still trying to decide if I'm going to do it or not. If I'm going to do it, I'll probably do a crowdfunding at the beginning of April, which is in a few days. If I do it, it's still a big if. Yeah, I break down NAMLA, all that stuff. So I'm still thinking about it, man. Y'all let me know. Give me some feedback. Some people in the chat room are saying, oh, no, don't do it. It's too dangerous. Some people are like, yes, we do need it. Y'all hit me up and let me know, man. Should I do it? Because if people are like, eh, you know, I want people to really, really want to rock with something like that. I want people to be able to really rock with something like that. And y'all got to rock with me if I do something like that, because, you know, I'm putting myself in a certain position there. You dig? We gonna get on J. Edgar Hoover too. We getting on all of them. Oh, we gonna break all of it down. Bernard Rustin, we gonna get on him. Remember, he was used in the black struggle in the 1960s. We gonna break him down. He was a CIA agent. We're gonna break him down. That was one of Martin Luther King's right hand men. He was a CIA agent. Did y'all know that? Bernard Rustin, did y'all know that? He was a gay dude, openly gay black man in the 1960s who rocked with Dr. King, and his ass was CIA. Look that up. This ain't no conspiracy theory. This is very well documented. Bayard Rustin. So again, man, this stuff is heavy. Somebody said, don't do it. It's risky. Should we do it? Whatever. No, I wouldn't do a book. I have to do a film. No, I would have to do a film on it. But anyway, man, go to hiddencolorsfilm.com. Get all the other documentaries, Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, 4, and 1804, the Haiti documentary. Go to Tangibles 2020. Let's keep that movement going. And again, y'all let me know if y'all want me to do that documentary. Y'all give me some feedback, give me some pros and cons, and if y'all want me to rock with that, man, I'll get the crowdfunding going the beginning of April, so by the time I'm done with HC5, which is going to be soon, because we're trying to get a summer release for that, I can go right into production of the buck-breaking movie. I can go right into production, so when HC5 is out, a few months will pass, and then the new joint will come on out. Because we need something to counter all of this. Remember, the Me Too, all that stuff is fueled by that whole white LGBT community too. All of these anti-black attacks, they're at the bottom of that stuff. So we take an offensive strike against that whole anti-black movement. That thing will be heavy. All right, y'all think about it, man. Let me know, man. Y'all follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. Again, everybody subscribe here. And I'm going to holler.